Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cousins for Christ, Christianity 101, where we answer your questions, hopefully in 10 minutes or less. Joined again by my cousin, Jeremy.
Hello.
My cousin, Chris. He's unable to be with us today, so we're going to carry on. A listener has posed the question about, can we cherry pick verses in the Bible? So we're going to be talking today about the dangers of why we should not cherry pick, to mean just singling out one single verse or a couple of verses and trying to use that to justify continuing to do whatever they're doing. Jeremy, will set this up for us and tell us about it?
Yeah, so it's kind of like the Bible's numbered, okay, but it didn't...
Chapter and verse.
Yes, it's numbered chapter and verse, but... When Matthew wrote Matthew, he didn't start off by saying Matthew 1:1. He didn't write that down. It wasn't added. The numbers wasn't actually added until 1555, and it was actually in the Latin Vulgate it was first added. And the only reason it was added was just to help find a section where, if nowadays we'd say, hey, Jeff, turn to Mark 6:8. Well, if you didn't have a 6:8, you just had to turn to Mark and just keep saying, is this it? Is this it? It was just a reference to get on the same page, basically.
So what you're telling us, Jeremy, not only was it a way that we could quickly reference a passage and get to that,
yes,
if we're a group studying together, mm-hmm, but also man has put together these breaking a certain letter into certain chapters and even certain subsections within those chapters, just to make it easier for us to read.
Yes, when Paul wrote Romans, he just wrote Romans. He didn't write
Romans. It was
Romans.
A letter.
He didn't write Romans 1, 2, and 3. He wrote Romans, and then later on, into 1555, we just added numbers to help reference things that we're talking about. Because if I said, hey, turn to Romans, you'd be like, where? If the numbers weren't there, you'd be like, okay, right. this, just simplify things.
So, talking about the dangers of cherry picking, I'm going to give a couple, two or three examples here.
Well, the reason they added the numbers too is like this. One of the reasons we're talking about this is because too many people, and I think you're going to get into that, use that verse as its own thing, not part of a actual whole work.
Exactly, and yeah, to kind of further clarify that, we get examples oftentimes where people single out one verse and they'll use that to say, okay. Well, here's some examples just to give you an understanding. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 says, judge not that you be not judged. We've all heard that. Now, a lot
several
of people will tell
over.
You, well, that verse means we can't judge people at all. Yeah. There's only one judge, that's God. So if Jeremy's out here doing something sinful, I can't correct him on it because it says, judge not.
Mind your business.
Lest you be judged. Well, if we'll continue reading down through that, what that's going to go on to tell you in the rest of Matthew 7, or at least through verse 6, is that you can indeed judge people.
Yes, you can.
If it's with a righteous judgment, if you're judging that person from a point of meekness and love, you can call people out on what they're doing wrong. What it's specifically telling you not to do is, I can't judge Jeremy for a sin that I'm also guilty of myself. That would be hypocritical, correct?
Hypocritical judgments is what this is referring to.
But a lot of people,
righteous judgments.
A lot of folks will look at that verse right there and just tell you, well, that's wrong for you to try to point out the faults in others.
Yeah, they're taking one verse, like we said, cherry picking it and making it the whole thing, when if you keep reading in context, it's nothing about that.
Another example. This comes from 1 John chapter 3. Verse 15. It says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, I've had this argued to me multiple times, Jeremy, that when I tell people, well, the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cleanse all sin, it's all powerful. Well, no, it ain't, because it says right here in 1 John 3:15, if you murder somebody, you got no life abiding in you. I'm like, okay, you cherry-picked the verse.
Yeah.
If you just go back and start reading at the beginning of 1 John 3, it becomes very obvious that that verse is referring to love, or the
yes.
lack thereof.
Yes.
What it's saying is, if you don't love your fellow brother or sister, you've got no chance at eternal life.
No, and he goes,
that's what it's telling you.
Yeah, it's referring back to when Jesus said, those who hates his brother might as well be a murderer.
Exactly.
Is what we're talking. Is what he's talking about for referencing.
I want to jump in one more example. Where are we at? We're about halfway in. a lot of people will use, they'll cherry pick verses from the Bible to argue that baptism itself is not necessary. For instance, let's read Acts 16 and verse 31. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Okay, that's verse 31. That's in the middle of a long section about the Philippian jailer being converted. But yet, they'll only choose verse 31 and say, well, it says right there, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. You don't got to be, don't say a word about baptism, Jeremy. Well, if you care to continue reading down, it'll say, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Yes. That's just two more verses, but why didn't you read down a little bit further?
Because sometimes context gets in the way of your point.
Let me, an analogy, if you will, Jeremy. Let's imagine that you had something that you needed to put together that had multiple pieces, and you had an instruction manual. To put that together accurately, would you just simply say the instruction manual is 5 pages long? Would you go to the middle of page 3 and read one sentence and assume that you could put that item together?
No.
Can we not also argue that the Bible is an instruction manual?
It is. It is an instruction manual and a love letter from God.
It tells us how we can fix ourselves.
Yeah.
How we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we feel like that we can just, I've heard people say before, they'll just flip, you know, they'll just turn the Bible open randomly and just shove their finger down and whatever that verse is, that's what God wanted to say to them that day.
Yeah.
I'm like, God,
and I'm glad you brought that up. It's also, the Bible also shows you those who turned away from God and what happened to them and how life got really hard.
There's lots of examples of that. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. I'll start in 9, verse 9, and read through, I guess, let's call it 13. Romans 10, verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Right? And further it goes on, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. That doesn't specifically mention baptism. But if you study the entire New Testament, all of the writings of Christ, it says over and over again that it's just like, okay, John 3:16. We all know that one by heart. I'm just going to read it for you, just to remind people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Again, they'll hang their head on that. I don't need to go any further. All I got to do is believe on him and confess his name. Not true. We got to read everything in its context. Mark 16:16. I'm going to read that verse for you. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. This is Jesus Christ talking.
Mm-hmm.
It does not say whoever believes will be saved. Whoever believes and is baptized. That's a requirement. When you hear the word is, it's not optional.
It's a commandment.
Yeah, some people think it's optional. Or they'll read the last part of the verse, but whoever does not believe, well, obviously, if you don't believe, you're probably not going to be baptized either, no. Correct? One more, and I'll try to shut this down. Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter didn't say just repent and call on his name. Be baptized. So, back to cherry picking. I kind of stress the baptism part because I've heard that so many times from folks who will tell me, you know, you don't have to be baptized. It's optional. You know, you can take it or leave it. If you do it, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. Well, it's not, guys. But with any letter, whatever it is that's being written, you just can't go down to the middle of the page and read one little snippet of it and expect to have understood what the entire message has conveyed to you.
Yeah, context is key.
Context is huge. I would argue, and here's a good example. We're talking about baptism. I'm beating that one to death a little bit, but it's important. Anybody who thinks baptism is optional, read through the New Testament and come back and put together some bullet points where I can feel confident that I wouldn't have to be baptized to be saved. A lot of times in your efforts to prove something is not right or not required, you'll prove to yourself that indeed it is. I don't know if I said that clearly, but...
Well, I think the thing is the person that would say it had to ask themselves, I'd have to ask them, were they baptized?
Right.
For most people that argue that you don't, when you ask, were you baptized? They go, oh, yeah, I was baptized. Why?
Right. So anyway, just going back through the entire Bible, you know, you can't just take one single verse and use that to justify something that you're doing. You got to read it all, and you got to try to understand that within the context of the message. So that's all I got on that, Jeremy.
No, it's great. I agree 100%. The Bible is a full work. Each book in the Bible is a full work.
It's all important, right?
You can't just take a sentence out of a full work. You wouldn't read something out of Harry Potter in one word and just make up the whole book how it is.
Could I read Herman Melville's Moby Dick
yeah.
and go, you know, it's like over 1,000 pages.
Yeah.
Read a couple of sentences in the middle and I know everything about that book now.
There's a lot of people do that. But yeah, so context is key. Read how you start. If you see a verse, start before it and after it.
Well, good talk, Jeremy. We didn't quite wrap this up in 10 days.
Yeah, we'll make it up next time for y'all. We're sorry.
Anyway, where can we be found, Jeremy?
Facebook, Cousins for Christ, Spotify, Our Heart Radio, YouTube, Apple Pod. We appreciate everybody out there. We love you. Please share and like.
Into that. Good and talk.
I'll end this in prayer.
Let's do it.
Dear Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you so much for gathering us here to do this podcast, Lord, and being with us, Lord. Please, Lord, be with those out there listening, Lord, and help strengthen their faith, Lord, and help comfort them in their times of need, Lord, and help plant a seed with someone out there that might hear this and need it and help water it, Lord, and nourish it to come to you, Lord. We thank you so much for this blessing you've given us and for all the listeners out there. And be with them and help their health grow and be and everything in their lives be going well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.